struggle with being truly thankful today? Elizabeth Elliot says, "I'm one who is having to learn this lesson of gratitude." I think we can all relate to what Elizabeth is saying. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about the trials of singleness. And remember that the word trial means test. You are being put to a difficult test if you're single and wish that you were married. But remember, the Lord knows exactly what's best for you. It is singleness right now. God might change that next week, but for the moment, which is all you have, singleness is God's gift. I read yesterday some of the rude questions that are asked of singles, and I encouraged the lady who wrote me that letter to just let the wind blow away that kind of chaff. Let the wind of God blow it far away from you and rest your heart on His utter faithfulness. Many who are listening are not single, of course. Do I have any word for them? You who are married may smile a bit about a subject like the trials of singleness. You remember what it was like. And of the trials of the married state, would you have some interesting things to say? Well, I'm sure you would. Now, here's a wonderfully encouraging letter from a single woman who has found deep joy in acceptance of her status. If this makes you angry, please don't turn off the radio. Just listen to this lovely testimony. A woman named Joy writes that she was born a romantic at heart, always dreaming of walking hand in hand in the stillness of a snowfall, baking cookies with her own little girl, reading bedtime stories to her children. Her mother had worked at making pleasant memories out of daily happenings. The aroma of bread baking welcomed the children home from school. There were heart-to-heart conversations as they washed the supper dishes. Summer picnics, the scent of applesauce cooking when darkness forced them from their leaf raking in the fall. "I eagerly anticipated following Mom's example as a wife and mother," she writes. "Singleness was not a circumstance that entered my mind. I had no desire or heart for a career, so for years I prayed for that special man I felt sure the Lord would be preparing for me, and me for him. Dates were few during school days, and she wondered what might be wrong with her. Then, hearing other Christian girls say that God did not bring along the man until they had really surrendered to be single, try as she might, she could not manufacture that nebulous, magical degree of submission for which God was supposed to reward me. There came a time when the Lord brought her to a true surrender of the desire for a husband. It was an act of the will that did not always enjoy emotional support or agreement," she said. Then after nursing school and a couple of years' work, she stopped praying about any specific desired circumstance. She says the Lord graciously replaced that focus with a willingness, not only to be single, but rather an eagerness and determination to serve the Lord in whatever capacity He chose for me, single in a career, or married at home, nursing or mothering, as a resident here, or in a mission capacity elsewhere. The willingness to remain single did not, however, kill the desire for the ministry of a Christian home, desire to serve a godly man, to rear children, to serve God and be a spiritual influence to the latchkey kids of the neighborhood. Sometimes the thought came that perhaps God was actually being cruel in not making things easier by removing the desire. She could not understand why she should have to suffer as long as she was genuinely willing to be denied. Then He came. They dated. She struggled. Not sure of her feelings about Him, she asked God to plant a seed of divine love in her heart for Him, so that she might know it was God's doing and not her own. Next, there was a strange roadblock. why had God dangled this seeming gift before her eyes if he was not to give it to her? He knew it would revive old yearnings, inflict a deeper pain. She did not turn from him in bitterness, but began investigating the subject of sacrifice in worship. I wrestled, wanting desperately to trust God's goodness, even in this crumbling relationship with a man I had come to love. The answer was most graciously given that Monday morning, and its clarity and simplicity left my heart humbled and the eyes of my understanding graciously enlightened. I had prayed for God to take away the desire for a husband and a godly home, but he had not granted my request because he wanted to afford me the privilege of sacrifice. I'm going to repeat that sentence. I had prayed for God to take away the desire for a husband and a godly home, but he had not granted my request because he wanted to afford me the privilege of sacrifice. So that morning, I climbed Mount Moriah. That's the mountain, you know, that Abraham climbed when he was asked to sacrifice his most beloved son, Isaac. That morning I climbed Mount Moriah and laid on the altar not my relationship with this man only, but all those desires and burdens for a husband, home ministry, and children. I watched, not without tears, as my sacrifice was consumed. For a sacrifice to be complete, it has to be given with no thought or expectation of resurrection on my part, while still acknowledging the Lord's power to do as he chooses. I vowed that I would never take back those ashes. If God wants at some time to breathe new life into them and resurrect them, it must be his work, and I am assured that that which he raises up is of much higher quality than the thing offered. It's been 6 years since this most precious event, and I have found the Lord has graciously met many of my desires, though I remain single. I love my role as Aunt Joy to 6 nieces and nephews. Also, he has shown me that I can be actively involved in the ministry of Christian homes by spending time in prayer for young families at church, by writing notes of encouragement accompanied by a loaf of homemade bread or muffins or jam. My vision has widened. Opportunities within my mission field, caring for the sick in the hospital or neighbors, family, and friends, are treasures indeed. I've come to realize I have the perfect husband who knows me completely and loves me without reservation. He always understands me and the feelings of my infirmities, and he has all power to meet every need. Our communication and communion need never be interrupted. And death for me will not be a separation from my husband, but rather the blessed culmination of an eagerly anticipated heavenly union. A wonderful letter from a woman who is single, sacrificial, serving, and satisfied. Single, sacrificial, serving, and satisfied. May her testimony give to many who are listening pause, so that they may be cheered and strengthened. And now I want to ask you some questions, you who are longing for what you do not have. Remember that the first sin was the snatching of something that God had forbidden, because Eve believed that God was withholding from her the one thing that would make her happy. Do you believe that God is withholding from you the one thing that would make you happy, which you imagine is marriage? Ask some of your married friends if that makes a whole lot of sense. Marriage has its sorrows. Singleness has its sorrows. Both have plenty of trials. But when does desire become an idol? How does one give a desire to God? Then, having given it, who has the right to dispose of it? that is, to put it in its proper place, to assign or appoint it, or to make use of it. I've heard of people who tell me that they have given themselves completely to God, and then they tell me stories which indicate that they have taken back that self as though they owned it. Or they tell me that they have laid their desire for marriage on the altar. But they are writing me long letters, hoping that I will tell them that God has a husband for them. So once the desire is given to God, who has the right to dispose of it? Will the surrender of desire guarantee its fulfillment? Certainly not. Not in the form in which it was surrendered, if it is a specific desire for anything other than the will of God. If our desire is the will of God, we will have peace. And I think that we can certainly say that God will fulfill that desire if it is an honest one. After a whole year of considering a certain woman before God, that was in the letter that we read yesterday, this man did take some cautious steps. And I do urge you men to pray silently and watch quietly. That's what Abraham's servant did. Check it out in Genesis 24. God knows how to point out the right woman to you at the right time.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.